Okay, if you go ahead and turn your Bibles to Nehemiah, we've already covered in Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Now, if you remember, as we finished off, Nehemiah basically was encouraging the people not to be discouraged because they were at a dangerous time where Judah, the discouragement wasn't coming from outside, it was coming from inside. You know, the rubble's here and the weeds are growing and we can't do the work, and they wanted to run away and they wanted to hide, and they just did not want to take the comfort of the Lord and the calling of God and fulfill it because of fear. And so he told them, don't run away, be strong. And in our lives, we need to make sure that when the enemy's attacking, we don't run away, but we do the same things that we see that Nehemiah instructed the people to do here in verses 14 all the way through 23. So what was it that he did? Let's start by reading verse 13, and then we'll look at verse 14. And so we finished off last week with verse 13, where it says, therefore, I positioned the men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set people according to their families, and their swords and their spears and their bows were with them. So the wall was half built. The enemies were saying, you're not going to complete it. We're going to overrun you. We're going to so overpower you that you're just going to be annihilated. And the people just got freaked out, and Judah didn't help the matter at all by just saying everyone just is ready to give up. And so what did Nehemiah do? He set the course straight once again. And I'm telling you, sometimes in our lives, we need to set the course straight so that we're following what God wants us to do. And here we see, in the midst of spiritual warfare, the attacks are coming from outside, they're coming from inside, how Nehemiah went ahead and set the course straight again. First of all, we see in verse 14, where it says, and I looked and I rose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. He was getting their mind set in priority once again. He said, don't be afraid, but remember God. Did you hear that? Don't be afraid, but remember God. What happened to them? They got their eyes off of God. Has that ever happened to you, that maybe you're just so overwhelmed with circumstances that are going on in your life? The pressure is just mounting up, and the stress levels are growing and growing. And without even knowing it, you get your eyes off of the Lord, and you didn't even realize that you did it. It wasn't on purpose. It's just that your mind was so overwhelmed and so focused on these things that you forgot the real thing, and that's Jesus Christ. So what did he do? He said, remember that your God is an awesome and a great God. And when those times come in our lives that we get our eyes off of the Lord because of the circumstances, I would encourage you to remember what Jehoshaphat said there in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Listen to what he said. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. In other words, they're much stronger than we are. There is no chance that we can win this battle. Neither do we know what we are to do. We don't even know what game plan to put into effect. It sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? But listen to what he says. But our eyes are upon you, talking to God. The enemy is great. We don't know what to do, but this we know. We're keeping our eyes on you, Father. We're keeping our eyes on you, Jesus, because you have promised to take care of us in all areas of our life. It's so important that we keep our eyes and our hearts on Jesus. Why? Because our God is a great and an awesome God. When things look so overwhelming and so discouraging that there's no way out, we need to make sure that we're looking to God for the way that we should go. Don't let the overwhelming feelings control your life. Allow God to show you how big and awesome and great He is. And the only way that God is going to be able to show you how big and great and awesome He is by you keeping your eyes on Him in the midst of this overwhelming things that you're going on, that are going on, excuse me. You see, if we're so focused on the things that are overwhelming us and we have our eyes off of God, sometimes that hinders God from doing works, not because He's not capable, but because He knows your heart, that you're not seeking Him, and if He would do something for you, you wouldn't acknowledge Him. And that's just human nature. But when you have your eyes on God and you say, I am going to trust You. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. But I know that You're going to do it. And you keep your eyes on Him and you pray against the enemy and the attacks that are coming. And you begin to just say, God, You are faithful. You have carried me this far. You're going to carry me the rest of the way. And guess what? God shows His faithfulness. He shows His provision. He shows you His direction. And God should get all the glory. But if we don't have our eyes on Him, we have a tendency not to give Him the glory. It's important that we remember who we're fighting against. We know that the enemy is out there to destroy us. But we also need to know who we're fighting for. Did you catch what Nehemiah said here? He said, remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. So it's just as important to remember not only who we're fighting against, but who we're fighting for. It's important that we realize that we're fighting for our family or our future family. We're fighting for the family of God, the brethren, the sisters in Christ. We're fighting for them in the walk that they're going through and the things that they're going through. And we need to be strong in the Lord. Our walk is going to affect people that are around us. Our courage is going to encourage people around us. But if we're walking and we're running in fear and we're scared, then guess what? People are going to be affected in a very negative way. Set in your heart that this battle is not just about you, but it's about your loved ones too. You're fighting for them, and you need to stand strong, and you need to be bold in the Lord that God is faithful. That which He has begun, He will finish it, and God will get the glory if we keep our eyes on Him. So let's make sure that our lives affect people in a spiritual, positive way. Not in a negative way, not in a bad example. You know, Paul told Timothy, be thou an example unto the believers. Well, all of us need to be examples unto who we're fighting for. We need to be an example unto our family, unto the people that are in the body of Christ, and we need to be an example unto the world. Because they're looking at you, and you may be the only Bible they ever read. Let's make sure that when they're reading us, they're reading a person that has confidence in the awesome, great God, and that He is going to take care of whatever situation is going on. Oh yes, he may call us to have our part in it, but he will give us our strength, he will give us our wisdom, and he will give us the ability to accomplish that fight. So yes, fight against the enemy, but fight for your families, because their lives and their spiritual walk are very, very affected by our personal walk. So let's be that example. Now, what effect when we do this and we have those spiritual priorities in order, what effect does it have on the enemy? Well, we see in verse 15, it says, "And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plight to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, every one of us to the work that we have been called." Let's just go ahead and read down to 18. "So it was from that time on that half my servants worked at construction, while the other half held spears and shields and bows and wore armor. And the leaders were behind all the houses of Judah, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens, loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded to his side as he built, and he who sounded the trumpet was besides me." What effect did it have on the plans of the enemies? They could do nothing, because instead of the people running away in fear, they geared up for the battle. They went ahead. Nehemiah says, "Hey, half you guys are going to be working construction. The other half, you're going to be ready for battle. If it comes, you're the first front." And then everyone who's working construction, they've got their swords with them, and they'll come join you as well. And guess what? The enemy was just deflated because they realized that their plan came to absolutely nothing. There's an important spiritual key point here. The enemy, what was his goal? If you stop and think about it, the enemies of the Jewish people there didn't want the wall to be built. They didn't care how or what needed to be done to get the Jews to stop building. And what happened? If the people, Israel, armed up, everyone was armed up, and everyone was standing watch, and nobody was doing the work, then the enemy would have won. They wouldn't care if they were armed up because they outnumbered them. They wanted the work of the wall to be stopped. They'd already laughed at him, said, "You'll never be able to do it. A fox could run on that wall and fall over." Well, they already built up half of the wall, and now they're perplexed. The enemies are perplexed because, wow, they're doing the work. They're getting it done. And so what was it they going to do? They were going to threaten them that they were going to come and do all of this stuff to them. And if we could get them all to arm up, then the wall would not be built. And after a while, they'd just get discouraged and they wouldn't be able to, take care of themselves, and they would just quit building the wall. Well, we see that the enemy was not victorious because Nehemiah came up with an amazing plan. Half you guys arm yourselves up, the other half work, but be ready to fight. But remember who you're fighting for. Remember who you're fighting for. You're fighting for your brothers in the faith. You're fighting for your family, for your future family. You're fighting for your homes that you live in. And I'll tell you what, when you really realize that you have a battle going on and your family is the target, you're going to fight to win that battle. And Nehemiah used that love for family to stir them up, to do the work, to arm them up, to fight if they needed to win the victory. And we need to do the same thing. We are fighting for our families. We want them to be strong in the Lord. Sometimes they don't necessarily follow after that for themselves, but we need to do our part. They have free will. but we can continue to fight the battle for their souls as well. Don't ever be discouraged and give up, because all of a sudden, maybe one night, you would just get a phone call. Hey, Mom, hi, Dad, how you doing? I just want you to know how things are going on. And all of a sudden, you hear all of the wonderful things that the Lord began to do in their lives, and they're coming back home. Maybe not moving into your house, but they're coming back home to the spiritual family that they want to be part of again. So fight the good fight. Know your fight is for your family as well. So I think we can really see some practical things here, that it's so critically important that under no circumstances that we ever stop building. First of all, we need to start building ourselves up and continue building ourselves in a practical way in the Lord. You know, Acts 2:42, where they continue steadfastly in the apostleship's doctrine, the word of God, in fellowship, coming together and worshiping together. That's where we corporately move in the same direction. People who don't come in fellowship or live stream in fellowship, they don't know the direction that the body's moving, and they get left over here and think, well, I'm just not getting fed. Well, the people that usually don't get fed are the ones that don't come often enough to eat. You ever think about that? You periodically jump in for a little nibble here and there, but if you're not there faithfully, guess what? You're not getting a full digest. You're not getting a full meal. And you wonder why I just don't feel right there anymore. It's just not feeding me. Well, you know what? When you don't come and partake and eat, then it's difficult to stay with everybody else who is coming and eating and growing together. And so that's why fellowship with one another is so important, where Hebrews 10 tells us, forsake not the gathering of the brethren, but to continue on and bring them in. And then the breaking of bread, and as you know, I liken that to the confessing our sins, because we get clean there when we confess our sins. And prayer is so important. And I encourage you to come alongside. And man, I encourage you specifically on Sunday mornings, come early. Come 20 minutes early and come into my office at 9:15 and sit down with us and have some time of prayer for the church service and be together with the men for those few minutes. It'll make a world of difference for you, and your family will be blessed that you care enough to be praying in there for them and for the rest of the flock. So I encourage you to do that. We had that yesterday, and we saw that there's 4 people that got saved in the sanctuary. What a blessing that was. What a glorious blessing that was. And I'm so grateful for what God is doing. So continue to build yourself up, but also build your family up as well. And then build a church up in the areas that God has called you to. You know, be that servant to serve and to help, whether it's in whatever it is that God's calling you to do, Sunday school, ushering, greeters, you know, all kind of youth, all kinds of things, worship, you know, tech teams, all of this stuff. It's just amazing when we pull together as a team and we see the glorious hand of God doing a great, great work after this crazy pandemic and the frazzledness that it causes all kinds of people to go through, to see people coming together and being strong in the Lord and working together for the common good, for one another, to build one another up. Satan's goal is to get us to stop doing that. That's his goal. Our goal is to defeat his goal by arming ourselves and building up the kingdom of God and building up one another. Very practical stuff that we see here in the Word of God. Now, the next two verses that we want to look at are verses 19 and 20, where it says this: Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherefore you hear the sound, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there and our God will fight for us. They're building the whole wall. The enemy is only going to attack on one side. And so what Nehemiah, if you caught it earlier, he positioned people around the wall. Half of them would be standing guard, half would be working. Half that would be working would be going back and forth and getting the materials and placing them and putting them all there while the other ones were guarding. But when he said that I have the trumpeter next to me, so wherever Nehemiah was at, the trumpeter was there. And when Nehemiah would get word that the attack was on and from what location, he would give the signal to the trumpeter and the trumpeter would sound the trumpet. And everyone would go to where that trumpet told them to go to, and they would fight together against the enemy. And so we see here that they were working, they were watching, in other words, they were building the wall, they were watching for the enemy to attack, and they had their ear in tune to the trumpet when it would blow. They understood what it meant. And away they went to fight the good fight. In other words, they were staying in tune. We need to stay in tune with the Lord. We need to be working about doing the things that God has told us, not for salvation, for by grace we are saved, lest any man should boast, but we are saved by grace, but we have been called to a good work after we're saved. So we need to continue the work. We need to continue to be watching the attacks that could potentially be coming, but we also need to stay in tune to hear God's voice instructing us what to do, just like that trumpet instructed them what to do. We need to stay in tune to hear what God will do. And I love what Nehemiah said there. Did you notice it? He didn't say, we're going to all come together and we're the ones that are going to do the fighting. He goes, we're all going to come together and God will fight for us. In other words, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord, our ears open to God's signals, and God is going to do a great and a mighty work in all of our lives. So make sure that you're doing the work that God's called you to, that you're watching for the attacks of the enemy, and that your ear is staying in tune to the Lord. And that way you will be very successful. Now let's finish it off with our last two verses today, or tonight, excuse me, where it says in verse 22, at the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be on guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off their clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. Well, I think that's a doggone good idea to take them off for washing, because we don't want them all to be smelly when they're out there. Well, the enemy of God, we need to recognize, is Satan, and Satan has his workers of iniquity in the spiritual realm, but Satan also has enemies, ambassadors, just like we're ambassadors for Christ. Well, he has his ambassadors of evil coming against us, and so they would be referred to as God's enemies. So God's enemies are our enemies. Therefore, we must know that just as Nehemiah's enemies had a plan to hinder his work, Satan has a plan to hinder our work. So we can either run away like some people will do because of fear and discouragement, or we can stand for our God and remember that God is fighting for us and he's fighting for our families. And that's why we are encouraged by the God to fight for our families, to give the good fight that would be well-pleasing to the Lord, because we're standing in the authority of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to let the enemy destroy us. We're going to stand strong. And we're going to rejoice that God is a good God, that he's a faithful God, and then he's going to carry us through to the end. You know, Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. You know, people quote that first part of the verse, you know, in the world you're going to have tribulations, and they focus on the tribulations. But he says, be of good cheer. You can rejoice. You're going to have joy in the midst of these trials. Why? Because I'm going to overcome them for you. I'm there for you because I love you. And that's what you need to be projecting to your loved ones, that Jesus is there. He loves you. Jesus has enemies, and Jesus's enemies are our enemies, and that we're going to fight against the enemies of God, and we're going to stand for righteousness, and we're going to prevail. Because if we die in this world, we go to heaven right away to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. That's prevailing. Or we're going to prevail here with the victories that we can have against the warfare. As many of you know, some of the churches stood up against the state of California authorities. They sued the governor for the mandates that he put upon the churches that were unconstitutional, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the governor lost. You know what? That was done with lots and lots of prayer, and that was done not only in the court system, but it was done in the spiritual arena too, through prayer, to get the Supreme Court to come down and say, from this day forward, you can never do this to churches again, ever. Because churches are essential. And you know what the church is? That's you. You are essential. And when we gather together, that is essential. And when we worship together, that is essential. And the Supreme Court says you cannot hinder that from this day forward. And we can rejoice because that battle was won. And I want to thank each and every one of you that prayed so fervently that we would see the victory. And it took a while, but the victory is there. And what a blessing it is that those unfair mandates are now gone, never again to be put onto the church. I think that's enough for a big hallelujah. Amen. Don't you? Let's give thanks to God for that and for the lessons that we learned in Nehemiah, to where we are able to stand strong and to win against the enemy, because we recognize there's a spiritual warfare that's going on out there. And sometimes there's even spiritual warfare that comes on from inside when people get distracted and get their eyes off of Jesus. But we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we're going to prevail, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we know that our God is great and awesome, and we're going to proclaim it. Amen.